ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, if you're just getting up, it's about 67 degrees outside, going up to 80 today, and it's going to be around 80 degrees, maybe a little bit warmer through the weekend, and then a chance for showers next week as a cool front comes in. It's going to knock the high temperatures down to about 73 or so by next Halloween, by next Friday, which is Halloween. So it's not going to really be chilly, but it's not going to be hot either. So there you go, with lows around 58 or so. You can keep that in mind as you plan on your costume. One thing I just noticed, Halloween's on a Friday this year, so I guess it will be a little bit bigger than usual when it's on a weeknight. Mark Hamrick joins us now, our friend, Bankrate senior analyst, to talk about the maybe an AI bubble. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, my friend. Good morning to you.
Let's talk about, first off, before we get to AI bubble, what is a bubble in the market?
A bubble is perceived to be a part of a historical phenomenon where the price of something becomes inflated so much that it's at risk of popping at some point. And you could make an argument that the housing market nationally was bubbly around 2006 before we had the housing bust. You can make the argument that Beanie Babies back in the day,
there
30 years ago.
You know me and my Beanie Babies, Mark. You know me. There you go.
You know, I don't mean to trigger you on the whole Beanie
all right,
Baby
that's
thing.
Okay.
We could go all New Orleans on you and talk about Pappy Van Winkle.
There you go. Or the bourbon and also IPOs, right? We had a bubble with those because it seems like everybody was having these. I don't know if that was a bubble or not, but I was having lunch with somebody on Friday, and it seemed as though back in the day, you know, we had groceries.com, we had carrots.com, we had candybars.com, and everybody was going crazy with these IPOs, and then they went belly up shortly thereafter, but they got to keep the money, right, that they raised?
Well, what you're talking about there really is the dot-com bubble running up until 2000. And what was different from that, from the current situation where we're talking about stocks that have benefited from the many billions of dollars invested in artificial intelligence. We're talking about NVIDIA. We're talking about Microsoft. We're talking about Alphabet, which is the parent of Google. We're talking about Meta, the parent of Facebook. We're talking about Amazon, Apple, and perhaps to some degree Tesla. Those are the stocks that are seen in this group that you're talking about at the outset here. But back in the late 90s and into 2000, these were companies for the most part that did not have positive cash flow, didn't have profitability. And so, you know, you can't say that about NVIDIA, Microsoft, dot, dot, dot. But what you can question is, how rich have these stock prices become when NVIDIA's run up 1,000% in 3 years as sort of a prime example? The problem with the answer that we try to attach to the question is, we don't know where and when this ends, meaning when does it deflate? And so that's really what the challenge is for everybody who's watching this, is these things can last for a long time. And the most important part of the answer is trying to time it is nearly impossible.
Don't get stuck holding the Beanie Babies, but how do you know when, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So what does the future look like for AI? Because it would seem as though it is ever expanding, and you would think that AI would generate more AI. So if you put money in AI, more AI is going to be developed and be used. So as a result, it's a can't lose thing. But that's what a lot of people think, right?
Well, there will be losers, right? In other words, not every solution will be successful. And if, for those of us that are, dare I say, sufficiently senior enough to remember the emergence of the internet and the dot-coms, many of the first movers in that space did not either survive or succeed. And so Google is a great example of sort of being a second generation email and search platform, where many preceded it and failed or went away. You know, I can remember back in the day there were platforms that I liked or used, including Excite. There was Ask Jeeves. There was, of course, Yahoo, which is still around, but in a much shrunken form. And Google sort of emerged and took over the personal email space, but most importantly, search. And now AI is, there's going to be a sorting out process here as well. And so not every dollar invested is going to have either a return or a superior return. And that's the way the business world works, as we all know, whether it's the mom and pop restaurant down the street or technology.
This is a competitive environment, Mark. So when it comes to the winners and the losers, what separated, say, the winners from the Ask Jeeves and the Yahoos?
Some degree timing, some degree luck, some degree sustainable strategy that was envisioned and executed by the management. And in some cases, it was just, you know, they all cannot survive, right? In other words, at some point, there's going to be a sorting out in almost every marketplace. And that'll be true with these as well. But, you know, as I look at that list that I just cited to you, is there any company among those that I would really want to substantially bet against? No. But I also wouldn't say that if you put $1,000 into any of those stocks and expect that level to be sustained, let's say, over the next 12 to 24 months, the stock market will be due for a correction at some point. A correction is a decline of 10%. A bear market is a decline of 20%. It'll go through that, and these stocks will be part of that. But many will be still standing some years from now. And so what we counsel people at Bankrate, meaning our audience and by extension your audience, to think about is this is really a long-term game that we're trying to play with investing. You know, we've talked very often about our surveys at Bankrate that, for example, thinking about the fact that most Americans have exposure to the stock market for the reason of saving for their retirement, that's a long-term proposition. If you're exposed or invested in, let's say, a mutual fund that is linked to the S&P 500 index, that has a lot of exposure to AI. And if and when there is a correction, it will suffer a bit of a setback, but it will also be helping to drive a part of the success of the performance of the stock market and the broader economy in the future.
You can drill down on exposure to AI, why there is so much exposure when we get back. We're talking to Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, about an AI bubble. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. CEO Conor Jeweler Talk and Text Line, please no driving and texting ever. Right now it's time for WWL Traffic. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. You were talking about exposure to AI when it comes to people with their 401ks or stock market, right, Mark, before?
Exactly, yes.
Explain that. Go into that a little bit in detail.
Well, a good number of companies in the corporate universe have investment or exposure to artificial intelligence. They're using it in their business. And then there are the companies that are working to develop it that we talked about at the outset, NVIDIA being the chip maker and technology company, but companies including the parents of Facebook, of Google, including Microsoft and others, are seen as part of the so-called Magnificent Seven, or the core group of companies that are developing AI and are seen as the beneficiaries of this technology as the rest of the world uses it. So, you know, insofar as, you know, some years ago, the great Warren Buffett said, if you're going to do two things to invest successfully, and this applies to those who are using their 401ks to save for retirement, it's basically two things. A typical S&P 500 mutual fund that has low costs associated with it. You hold on to that for the duration, as well as some exposure to treasury bonds. Those are two things. And so the S&P 500, being the sort of mainstream stock market index representing some of the largest and most successful companies in the universe, has substantial, skin in the game with respect to AI. And so if you're using an S&P 500 mutual fund, you have investment in artificial intelligence, whether you intended that to be the case or not. And so one of the questions for any investor right now, whether it's, you know, anybody listening with their 401ks, what they're doing with their retirement savings, or somebody who loves picking stocks, is should you be diversifying now because there has been such a gargantuan run-up in these AI stocks? And the answer is probably, but that doesn't mean to dump out of them, but it means to sort of look at the fact that an NVIDIA is up 1,000% in 3 years and say, you know, everybody likes taking a profit. Maybe you just need to move some of that money around a little bit to have less substantial exposure to AI, which no doubt is going to be, still in the race for the foreseeable future.
So I started talking about the dot-com bubble, or at least I mentioned it. And I see a story in the Wall Street Journal about circularity, buzzword, and artificial intelligence deals. Talk about that, and does that lend itself to maybe comparisons with the dot-com bubble?
Well, there will always be comparisons because, first of all, the dot-com bubble, which, you know, was associated with the great enthusiasm of investing in something that was quite revolutionary, and that was the emergence of the internet and the fact that, you know, in the 1980s or early 1990s, you would have had a hard argument to make to people to say you should have a personal computer, and now we all carry one. I'm talking on one to you right now, the iPhone. So the comparisons will be made, but there are, as I mentioned earlier, stark differences in the sense of these major companies such as NVIDIA, Microsoft, Google, are making profit from this. The question is, you know, how many companies will earn a substantial return on their investment, and at what point does some of this investment run cold? And that's a legitimate question, and it isn't totally answerable at the moment from the standpoint of we need to see how history works out, much the same as, you know, you are fine riding the horse until the dot-com bubble imploded, and the same will be true of this. There will be some losses, but exactly how that unfolds, and most importantly, the timing, it's literally impossible to say.
Is there any way to predict who's going to be the winners, or what is going to determine winners and losers?
The quick answer is no.
Okay.
That's essentially it. As I said earlier, with these top seven companies, would you want to make a substantial bet against any of them? Probably not, but that doesn't mean their current stock prices are totally sustainable. But, you know, you think about Apple, which is in this race and also to some degree seen as somewhat behind. People have been trying to bet against Apple forever, and that's been a losing proposition because it has managed to innovate and do remarkable things.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth.
Plays a Raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other Raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The most recent iteration of the iPhone release has ended up being more successful than people predicted. The stock got a bunch of upgrades on Wall Street just this week because of that.
So you wouldn't bet against the Lions or the Chiefs, but they both can't win.
Well, let's just say the score may be different than what we expect.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mark. Mark Hamrick, business senior economic, Bankrate rather, senior economic analyst. We'll take a break and back talk with Dub Lane about healthcare right now. Time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 6:47, 13 till 7. Quickly to Walter Dub Lane, professor, associate professor of economics and finance at my alma mater, UNO. He is our healthcare go-to guy. How you doing, Dub?
Hey, good morning. Fine, Tim.
I'm looking at the Peter G. Peterson Foundation, which sounds like something from Seinfeld, but it's not. And they're quoted as saying in an August study that Americans pay double what residents in other developed nations pay for health care, even though outcomes in the U.S. are worse than those in other countries, as we all get our, or some of us are getting our open enrollment benefit period, where we can see what's going to happen. It always goes up. The benefits always go down. The price of it goes up. Where's all the money going, Dub?
Well, there's several things involved in there. The healthcare costs are going up for a variety of different reasons. And if you think even at the hospital level, three major reasons are because it's very labor intensive. And we've certainly been, we've had a shortage of things like nurses and radiation technologists and people of that sort. And those shortages tend to drive up wages, which of course becomes the cost of the hospital. The other one is technology. The newest MRIs and CT scans, mammograms, all of those robotic surgery, all of those high tech type of things increase the cost. They're very expensive, and we use a lot more of them than other countries do. And then the third, in terms of not just hospital specifically, but healthcare in general, the biggest increases we've seen have been in pharmaceuticals. Some of this is really good news as they keep discovering, you know, these genetic ways of dealing with diseases. I just was reading about one recently about Duchenne's multiple muscular dystrophy, which again is a possible cure for it, but it costs about $1 million to $3 million for each person. Those are huge costs. That are being passed on to this.
So I know you're not a physician, but I'm the average person, I think, would hear that and say, what could possibly cost $1 to $3 million?
Well, again, I can't really get into that much. But the other thing, but you are right in terms of, actually, that quote wasn't quite right. We do pay a lot more than most other countries do. Mm-hmm. Now, again, and the best gauge I have that is we're spending upwards right now of 18% of our entire GDP on healthcare. Most other Western countries are spending between 10 to 12%. So we're more like 50 or 60% higher, not twice as much, but still it is substantially higher. And there's a lot of other reasons for that in terms of, again, our use of technology. We pay our physicians a lot more than most other countries do. We're also very inefficient in terms of our administrative costs are much higher. and our pharmaceuticals are much, much higher.
So what are we getting in exchange for that as far as outcomes go?
Well, actually, our outcomes, when they say the outcomes are less, there's usually two. There's internationally, there's only a couple things they measure that they compare with some. Mm-hmm. One of them is longevity. That is, our average life expectancy in the United States is actually a year or two less than most other developed countries.
Hmm.
Now, that's not because of our poor healthcare system. That's because we have a lot of younger people that die from violence and automobile accidents.
Hmm.
And whenever that lowers your life expectancy, the way they measure it is just the average rate at which age at which people die.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have people, a 17-year-old drug dealer gets killed, that lowers our life expectancy down and has nothing to do with our healthcare system. If you adjust for those two things, violence and automobile accidents, then we're comparable to everybody else. But what we do see is on some of our outcomes, like if you want to be treated for cancer and certain type of diseases, we do a much better job than many other countries. So on some measures, we look worse. In some places, we are actually much better.
So when it comes to, I guess, the cost and what we could learn from other countries, to me, it all comes down to, and this goes back to when I first started dealing with all of this, you know, with Obamacare and everything else. If it works for you, you don't want to change it. If it doesn't work for you, you want to change it. Apparently, it's working for enough people where there's not the will to change it, or the people that are really benefiting from this have the power where it doesn't want to change. Are those two accurate statements or not?
Well, and part of it is if you do the actually surveys, interestingly, show that most people in the United States are very happy with our healthcare system, meaning we feel like we have good doctors and good hospitals. It's very expensive, but we feel like we're getting our money's worth. Now, on the other hand, what's really bad in the United States is we're the only country of the developed countries that doesn't have universal health care, universal insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That we still have a subsidy, even after Obamacare reduced the number of uninsured tremendously. Even after that, we still have a substantial percentage of our population, 10 or 12%, that are uninsured, and those uninsured people impose very high costs on everybody else, because they eventually show up in the emergency room and other things, and those costs get passed along to all the rest of us in terms of higher insurance prices and things of that sort.
So
we have a system that's not very efficient.
So if the COVID subsidies go away that the Democrats are fighting for, and that's what they're holding up the government, that's what they're shutting. I hate to say they're shutting down the government, but for whatever reason, that's where they're drawing their line in the sand. If those go away, what happens to the healthcare system for how many Americans?
Well, again, a lot of people will lose their insurance because those subsidies that occur are keeping making health insurance very inexpensive for many people. The subsidies go away, they're going to have to pay a lot more for insurance, and a lot of them will choose not to have insurance, and therefore the uninsured rate will go up.
Which means we ultimately end up paying for that. The cost to everybody goes up because there's no well care. They go to the emergency room, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes.
Okay. So if the subsidies go away, is there any way to measure how much that's going to cost people who still have insurance but are not affected by the subsidies going away, but will ultimately end up paying for it?
Well, let me just kind of give you an idea. Right now, the people that have, you know, insurance, Blue Cross, United, all those type of things, those companies, at least, especially for hospitals, pay about 135% of the cost, which is a pretty big premium.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is because Medicare only pays 90% of the cost, Medicaid only pays 65% of the cost, and uninsured pays about 10% of their cost. And so more than about half of all the patients at hospitals lose money on them. And so if the people with good insurance didn't pay those higher premiums, the hospitals would close down.
And so
other countries, everybody has the same insurance. Like Canada has Medicare for all. Now our Medicare wouldn't work that way, but that would level out everything in terms of the people that have the insurance wouldn't have to pay such a premium.
And from the actuarial side of it, if Blue Cross and the other companies are taking in less money for premiums because people can't afford it due to the loss of subsidies, that's going to make our rates go up, right?
We should see some of that, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it. It's complicated, but you make it understandable. Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, proud to say UNO, 655, 5 till 7. Let's look at traffic now, WWL.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.